Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? Yeah!
Getting the family camper together, we're heading west. Leaving Franklin County to make that short ride over to our second home. We're going to be joined by Tim May. How's that sound there, partner? Partner, right. Les Levine. Ma, are you wearing chaps over there? Let's go to that North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We bring in our good friend who is westbound and down. He is Tim May. Hi, Tim May.
Hey, Tim.
Ever tell y'all my anecdote? No, I can't tell you the anecdote on the air about the Jerry Reed Band.
No, tell us. By the way, you're from Letterman Row. You. I want people to know you're at Letterman Row. Why not?
Because I'm writing a screenplay that has elements of the Jerry Reed Band in it. So it was a long weekend in Nashville. That's all I got to say.
Ah. One day we'll find out.
You ever see the movie The Hangover?
Yes.
It would be like that, but it would be based on true life.
Uh-oh. Were you by yourself or with anybody else from your dispatch buddies?
No, there were several people involved. Names will be changed to protect the guilty.
Okay, as long I wasn't there, was I?
You going to change the names with each other? Or
I was not there.
I'm not even sure you were even born yet, Andy.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Yeah. That makes me feel so much better. Tim, you're not that
much older. The old thing goes, this is back when Nashville was Nashville. But go ahead now.
Oh, before they were in the NHL. That's what you're trying to say.
And men were men.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to brass tacks before my boss's head explodes because we're not talking about football. Tim, is Ohio State in no matter what?
I don't know. I just realized that Les Levine is your boss. So I'm not – you know what? I would take nothing for granted with this college football playoff committee. No matter what means you get beat 42-0, you're in. I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, you know, I would think that'd be hard to figure out. I mean – number two, if you could beat 42-0, that probably means Justin Fields might have gone down and didn't get up this time, if you follow my drift. So there'd be a lot involved there because there's no way Wisconsin's, shutting out Ohio State without some catastrophe happening. So I don't think there's an absolute answer to that. I would say, you know, if it's a close game, I'd say the chances are about 80% that they're still in for sure. But it depends on, you know, Oklahoma, Baylor, and of course, Utah, whether Utah wins or not. So, but you know, don't ever count your chickens before the eggs have been laid.
Okay,
wow.
I won't.
It's a non sequitur. Hey, whatever that means.
Tim, do you like this? I mean, you've been around this game for a long time, where there are people in a room who are truly trying to decide who the four best football teams are in college football, and they want them in a playoff where some things matter, some things don't, and they're going to decide who the four best teams are. Is this the best we've had?
I'd absolutely do like that, since all these teams don't play each other. And some of them don't even play teams from the other teams' conferences. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to have an arbiter. But what's really funny about this is people said you needed a playoff to decide things because, you know, polls are voted on by people, and what do they know? But, you know, this is voted on by people, and, you know, what do they know? You know?
Well,
and then back when you had – when you got the computers involved and everybody was ripping on the algorithms of the computers, which seemed to give certain teams or conferences advantages and stuff. There's never, until you get to a true Power Five champions all go to the playoff and three wild cards, you're probably not going to satisfy most people. And then even then, you're not going to satisfy most people because if you have an eighth team, there will be 10 teams thinking they should be that eighth team. Instead of now, you've got maybe three that think they should be that number four team.
Yeah, the eighth team isn't going to beat the first number one too often. You know, when you think about it, and you started to touch on it, Tim, that Ohio State has not shown, I don't want to say weakness, but they haven't shown that they've been bothered by anything out of the ordinary. This team has produced game in and game out, half in and half out.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I'll tell you what, the Rutgers-Penn State games in a row should bother you a little bit because they kind of took their eye off the ball a little bit, pardon the expression. And then, you know, the Michigan game, yeah, they, they scored 56. They gave up, 56 to 27, wasn't that the final score?
That
That was a Michigan team that they stoned in the second half for the most part after making some adjustments. They're not infallible. They're not invulnerable. A couple of key players go down here or there, and I'm not saying they would ever be average, but this is, you know, like any other major college team. Look at Alabama, lost their best defensive player before the season started to an injury, and then lost their maybe the best quarterback that ever played there about four games ago, and you saw what happened to them. They went south in a hurry. And it's hard to go south from Tuscaloosa, but you believe me, you can, because I lived south of Tuscaloosa for a while. But I digress. Bottom line is, a lot of things can happen, man, in college football, especially if you lose a player or two. I'll tell you what, the team right now, and I know this guy revs people the wrong way because he's standing up for his team because he's tired of hearing the narrative, but Clemson is playing well, and Clemson is loaded with talent. So, you know, that's another example of what you said, talk about guys and gals sitting in a room and picking the top four teams. You know, the defending champion, looks the part, in my opinion, despite who they've played, with the exception of one game this year against North Carolina. Of course, we'll see if they get by Virginia on Saturday. But I don't remember what the question was, but I've talked myself into a hole now. I shall now stop.
All right, I'll ask you a question then. If you can sort of project out who wins those questionable games, what do you see Ohio State going? Who do you see Ohio State playing in the first round?
I would see them playing. I would see if you. This is what you don't know about the committee. LSU is playing the number four team in the rankings this week. Ohio State's playing the what number? Can't remember what Wisconsin 10. I'm trying to remember 9 or 10. So. Who's going to have, if in fact LSU and Ohio State hold sway, who's going to have the more impressive win in the last game that you got to see these guys play? If it's LSU, 31-10, is that better than Ohio State 45-20? And number two, well, LSU beat what they think is their number four team, and so I wouldn't put it past them to move LSU past Ohio State, even though Ohio State's gauntlet, it will have run to finish the season. Penn State, Michigan, and Wisconsin is as tough as anybody. It's tougher than anybody's faced of the teams we're talking about, especially LSU. So, what are they going to – how are they going to look at things? They seem to be partial to the SEC if you consider LSU is number two and Georgia's number four as we speak. So, I think, but getting back to your question, I think everybody's looking out there and thinking, Ohio State versus the number four seed, be it Utah or Oklahoma, as opposed to playing Clemson in the first round would probably be preferable, because as much as Oklahoma may have improved its defense this year, it's still not an impregnable fortress.
Tim, this is a big weekend.
Hey. Yes. It was easy for me to say.
It was very easy.
No, it wasn't.
Let me ask you this before I ask you the next question, because I don't want you to get in trouble. Do you have a vote for the Heisman?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want, because I know Les has a vote for the Heisman too, so I try to avoid the way I ask questions. Can you answer this then? Does Ohio State have the three legit chances there if for some reason Joe Burrow doesn't win this thing? Do you believe that? Are you allowed to answer that?
No, here's what I'll say. I'll kind of answer like Archie Griffin did on my podcast this week. By the way, you ought to check it out. It's a good podcast with him talking about.
And does he have two votes or one? Just one vote, right?
But yeah. Okay. You know what? I never asked him that. I don't know if he gets two votes or not. That'd be pretty funny.
I doubt it. I doubt that he does, but that's cool.
He could stuff the ballot box, but I digress.
Yes.
I think all three of these guys, you could make a case for all three of them, which is tough on their candidacies. When you've only got one guy from LSU, I think it's unless Justin Fields goes crazy or J.K. Dobbins goes crazy or Chase Young has another game like he had the first time he played Wisconsin, which is quite possible, by the way. I think Chase Young, of the three, the reason I say Chase Young is he's the novelty. He's the defensive guy. He's the guy that, sort of how you want to be different. you know, out there in this modern era. Mm-hmm. He's the different guy that you vote for. And yeah, he had a 2-game suspension, but he came back pretty strong from that. And so if Joe Burrow kind of stumbles, even though everybody's looking at Justin Fields, Justin Fields going in with a little bit of a hitch in his get along, as Hayden Fry used to say, into this game. So we'll see how that goes, how much they can protect him, et cetera. But, you know, it's really funny because I would think the top two candidates, and in no particular order, would be Justin Fields and Chase Young or vice versa from Ohio State. But if Dobbins has another 200-yard game, 4 touchdowns like he did last week, he had the greatest total offense game by a running back in Ohio State history against the team up north, then, you know, all bets are off.
I can't remember the last time Ohio State had 3 guys. Can you?
I don't think they've ever had three.
1973, John Hicks was the right tackle, and Archie, and then Randy Gratishar, all were within the top 5 or 6 of the Heisman voting, which kind of killed the candidacies for all three. But John Hicks, remember the great right tackle from up there in y'all's neck of the woods, Cleveland. He was one of my favorite people ever of all time. I think that pretty well sums it up. I'm not being redundant there. He was like Chase Young defensively. He was like that on the offensive line. He was that kind of player.
I should know this answer, but is there a limit on how many can go to New York?
No, they usually base that on people. There's like a percentage, like in qualifying at Indianapolis, you got to be within a percentage of the pole speed, you know? Of the fastest speed on the track. So I'm sure, some years they've had 2 or 3, some years they've had 4 or 5, you know. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's based on how many votes you get to make you a legitimate candidate.
Tim, give me your prediction and what Ohio State needs to do to make sure they wrap this thing up tomorrow.
Well, Justin Fields said he thought they could have scored 50 the last time they played. He said that right after the game the last time they played, if the weather conditions had been ideal. Well, you can't get more ideal than an indoor stadium, Lucas Oil. So I could see Ohio State scoring in the 40s and Wisconsin maybe finding another touchdown and a field goal from last time, which was, Ohio State beat them 38-7. But this Ohio State defense, it's hard to believe they're going to get snookered repeatedly. Wisconsin will, you would think Wisconsin's going to have a little bit more in its passing game this time because they know that's what they've got to do to beat Ohio State. And they couldn't do it the last time because Ohio State stuffed Jonathan Taylor and said, "We dare you to throw it." And they couldn't get it done with Jack Cohn. But I'd see Ohio State in the mid-40s, like 45, and Wisconsin, in the 10 to 17 range. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, enjoy the ride. Are you not over there yet? You're leaving today?
Hey, guys, let me tell you, though. Yes. Turnovers, as you saw in the Penn State game, change everything. And who knows who's going to have turnovers in a game like this.
Good point. All right, Tim, safe travels over to Indianapolis, and we always appreciate your time. You're a good man.
By the way, I'm westbound and down, not eastbound and down, according to the song. So there you go.
Yeah, so I said that, right? Didn't I say that out of the gate?
Yeah, you did say westbound, but you were playing eastbound and down. Yeah, I'm trucking.
I'm directionally challenged. That's what I am. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, that's still one of the great movies, man. Jackie Gleason, man. I'm telling you.
Goodbye, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Humana.
Okay, Letterman Row. That's where you want to check out Tim May.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.